They will soon come now, Massa Malone. Before another week pass, Indian come back and bring rope and fetch you down." Such was the cheery cry of our excellent Zambo. I had one strange experience as I came from this second visit, which had involved my being away for a night from my companions. I was returning along the well-remembered route, and had reached a spot within a mile or so of the marsh of the pterodactyls, when I saw an extraordinary object approaching me. It was a man who walked inside a framework made of bent canes, so that he was enclosed on all sides in a bell-shaped cage. As I drew nearer, I was more amazed still to see that it was Lord John Roxton. When he saw me, he slipped from under his curious protection and came towards me laughing, and yet, as I thought, with some confusion in his manner.
"Well, young fellow," said he, "who would have thought of meeting you up here?"
"What in the world are you doing?" I asked.
"Visitin' my friends, the pterodactyls," said he.
"But why?"
"Interestin' beasts, don't you think? But unsociable. Nasty rude ways with strangers, as you may remember. So I rigged this framework which keeps them from bein' too pressin' in their attentions."
"But what do you want in the swamp?" He looked at me with a very questioning eye, and I read hesitation in his face.
"Don't you think other people besides professors can want to know things?" he said at last. "I'm studyin' the pretty dears. That's enough for you."
"No offense," said I. His good humor returned, and he laughed.
"No offense, young fella. I'm going to get a young devil chick for Challenger. That's one of my jobs. No, I don't want your company. I'm safe in this cage, and you are not. So long, and I'll be back in camp by nightfall."
He turned away, and I left him wandering on through the wood, with his extraordinary cage around him. If Lord John's behavior at this time was strange, that of Challenger was more so. I may say that he seemed to possess an extraordinary fascination for the Indian women, and that he always carried a large, spreading palm branch, with which he beat them off as if they were flies, when their attentions became too pressing. To see him walking like a comic opera sultan, with this badge of authority in his hand, his black beard bristling in front of him, his toes pointing at each step, and a train of wide-eyed Indian girls behind him, clad in their slender drapery of bark cloth, is one of the most grotesque of all the pictures which I will carry back with me. As to Summerlee, he was absorbed in the insect and bird life of the plateau, and spent his whole time, save that considerable portion which was devoted to abusing Challenger for not getting us out of our difficulties, in cleaning and mounting his specimens.